Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the Fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Weekend sports with a difference.
So I thought it'd be fun if we all went around and said our name and a little something about ourselves. I'll start.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers. This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
At least I have my own bed.
Your bed is a car.
Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
And Rashad Taylor.
Will you stop your damn sniveling, son? Buck up, Bart. Buck up!
On ESPN Sports Radio 1080, The Fan.
Well, hey, happy Sunday morning to you.
What up, though?
The snow's not there anymore, which is nice. Last week, I opened up my notes from last week's show and it said snowing, and I forgot that it snowed on Saturday or Sunday.
Man, last week. That's a cuss word to me now, bro. Did you survive
snow apocalypse 3.0 or whatever it is now?
I did. It wasn't necessarily snow apocalypse, more just like annoyance 3.0.
It was
because I could still drive in it, but they were canceling. Like, I work for the school district, one of the districts, and mm-hmm. So there was 3 days of canceled school.
Really?
Yeah, I think Monday was Monday President's.
Yeah, Monday was President's Day.
So Monday was President's Day, three straight days.
Well, Tuesday night was the first big snow, although I do remember schools canceling that day based on the fear of the snow. Did you get 3 extra days off then?
I got 3 days off.
So now, you got mind like a 5-6 day weekend?
But yeah.
And you're telling me it's a curse word to you? Come on,
well,
man.
Hey, man, listen. Not necessarily. For me, just because nobody wants to function in the snow. Most people are like, man, I'm not going outside. And I'm not. So nobody wants to meet. Nobody wants to come by and play Madden or have drinks. Everybody just kind of wants it. So, and then I have a 6-year-old
That's what the
son.
Internet's for. You can play Madden against other people.
Yeah, man, I don't like that, man. I like person to person. If I'm going to talk crap, I want you to be right there. I want you to see my touchdown celebration when you get scored on. Like, I want you to understand the energy for me
right.
Once my team gets a pick 6.
But you could play against a friend in real life online in Madden
man, that's
and
the
like
new school
videotape
stuff.
Yourself.
I like
dancing.
Person to person.
Yeah, you know. Dude, you can do the Twitch thing, right?
Yeah,
you can do Twitch.
I don't want to do none of that.
Oh, no. You're holding yourself back.
The trash talk could be real if you Twitch with the other person.
Well, see, that's because I don't like internet gangsters. Don't talk crass over the, you know.
But you like the real life
gangsters. Because some people go super hard. And that's the thing. When you're playing against random people online or people that, you know, some people start going super hard, especially when they start losing or with the game if it's close. Some people will say some really kind of.
Like racist stuff.
Well, yeah, that's why you got to like, play man, with your
not
buddies.
Not even just racist. Like, because
I've heard that though.
That's the case, but people are just kind of jerks sometimes. And then if you are winning, let's say in 2K or something like that, and you're up 12, and 6 minutes to go in the fourth, people will quit middle of the game. It's like, come on, bro. Like, I don't want that.
Come on,
I understand you're getting smacked 21. No problem. I understand why you walked away from the game. But if I'm up by a little bit and you can still come back, and you just I'm done playing because I don't want to get smacked. Please, if you're right there with me. That's different.
All right, so like snow though. So you didn't have anybody to play Madden with, but you had like a 6 day weekend.
Yeah, but still, like it was just me and my old dude kicking it the entire time, which is fine. You know, me and my son just hung out, made some snowmen, played, had a snowball fight, stuff like that. But man, after day number one of the snow, it's like, all right, man, go away. I don't want to see you anymore.
I will give credit to the city of Portland because normally I rip on them for this, but they actually handled it pretty well this year. Now I know the ice wasn't as much of a factor. But the only time that was an issue was Tuesday night leaving here at 8 and going home was right when it was in its like peak of heaviness and they hadn't plowed the roads yet. So I drove down I-5 on like 4 inches of snow and it was not paved. That wasn't fun. But beyond that, everything else was fine. The roads were fine. Oh. They even used salt on certain streets.
Yeah.
Bravo. Yeah, Thank you for listening to last year's rants.
Absolutely. I think last year kind of put everybody on notice that we got to change the way we prepare for the snow because we know it's going to come.
Yeah.
We're just never sure of when it's going to come in Oregon.
They had this stupid, it's almost like a plan sheet that they posted online. It was like 6 pages and it was their salt plan, salt and snow plan for 2018. And they said, we understand how much we all care about the environment here in this state. So because of that, we will be doing slow incremental tests of salt usage to see what the effects on the environment are. And they used it on like the steep roads that go to like hospitals like Sam Jackson up to OHSU and Barnes and stuff like that. They used it there just to make sure that those were open for people. And then they said, people on the East Coast and Midwest are already seeing major effects from oversalting throughout the last however many years it was. And I was like, what? They are? What are you talking about? Salting is fine. It works. I mean, I could be completely an idiot, but I was like, just use it. Just put it on the highways. It snows like once a year here. It's not going to kill the environment.
Yeah. Relax. I mean, you know, Portland loves trees, though. You know, got to make sure the
they love their rivers and their salmon. I think they're worried about the salmon, the salmon.
I guess.
Dump salmon. No waste, dreams to stream. That's the old saying around here. When I was a kid, they came up with that.
What was the saying?
Dump no waste, drains to stream. And they actually
that is a terrible saying. It has like catchy ability at all.
What they actually did is they took that, they stenciled it, and they like painted it around drains, storm drains around the city. I think that might have been it. No, I'm pretty sure that was a Portland thing because
a Portland thing.
They had like a whole art contest for kids, and it was a big thing.
I made the run for the art shirt one time. We got a chance to do that. Did you guys have Run for the Arts in Jersey?
No.
Man, shout out to everybody who participated in Run for the Arts as a kid. So what it is basically to support all the, you know, your visual and, you know, arts stuff like that at your schools. You did laps around either your gym or if you had a track at your school. Mm-hmm. And you would get people to donate money per lap. So, like, some people do, man, I'll give you $1 per lap or I'll give you 15 cents per lap and stuff like
that.
Those
are some cheap people.
I mean, when you're doing it in your gym,
you know, 92, that was a lot, man. You could get a lot for 50 cent at school. You know, nobody remembers the big cookies. Those are 50 cent.
Who's the guy coming with $10 a lap? Come on.
Hey, man, that was the homie Greg. He definitely had people in his family that were donating 20 and $10. So,
yeah, no, we didn't have anything like that. I'm trying to think back to things that we did that were similar, but I don't know.
There was a shirt competition. So if you made the nicest design, they'll put it on the shirt, and that's the shirt everybody got that year.
Yeah.
Looking at the
winner chicken dinner?
1992.
Do you still have that shirt?
No, not at all. I wish.
There's a drawer in my childhood home that is filled with those kind of shirts that were like designed in summer camp and like stuff like that. Every once in a while, I'll go peek through there and I'll be like, what on earth was this? What was I doing? What was I even trying to achieve here?
I have one thing, I think, from my childhood. It's my eighth grade football jersey that I have, you know. But outside of that, like, nothing.
I thought you had the
eighth grade all-star jersey.
The outfit you wore to Black Panther. Wasn't that from when you were a kid?
Yes, that was from high school. I do have that. Shoot. Let's see. I have my I was in this choir at Grant called the Royal Blues.
Very fancy sound.
Oh, no, it was a very fancy choir. You know, that's why. So I still have my tuxedo. I'm for certain that doesn't fit at all. But it was, and I had a blue
from
bow tie.
Eighth grade, I would hope it doesn't fit.
Had a blue tie and the tuxedo with the tail. Super classy.
I don't like the tuxedo with the tail.
It was a terrible tuxedo, but we all had it.
Sounds kind of like what we had for our band outfits at Gresham.
Yeah.
Just like this horrible royal blue, like, tux jacket with a blue cover bun and a blue bow tie.
Yeah, it was the blue cummerbund.
Bow tie classes it up.
Blue toe, that's exactly what it was. Blue cummerbund, blue. I'll find a picture for you guys. Yeah. I'll tweet it out at some point today.
Well, his Twitter is at TaylorMade503. I'm at MikeLynch27. Jesse's at Jesse Osman, ASZMAN. And the station is at 1080 The Fan. This is Sports Sunday. We are on until 11 o'clock today, and we've got plenty of sports to get to. We will be discussing the Blazers, who almost followed up wins over the Warriors in 11. Winning streak Jazz, but they lost to the bottom feeding Suns, but they did not because Damian Lillard is a god. He's something.
He's something close.
And so we'll talk about that. Also, the Western Conference standings right now are absolutely bananas. It's a 4.5 game difference from 3 to 10 in terms of seeds. So we'll talk about that coming up as well. Got some NFL notes today, as we like to keep the NFL on the show a little bit every single day. Blake Bortles is staying in Jacksonville, and not just for this year. He's staying for years to come. And I'll tell you why I think that's a stupid decision. Also, Marcus Peters was traded to the Rams. I'll also tell you why I think that's a stupid decision. So that's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. The college basketball FBI scandal situation is starting to leak out. We're getting some reports. We're starting to get some information. And I really just think this is the tip of the iceberg with this. And I feel like it's going to get so much worse for a lot of coaches. It already started with Sean Miller yesterday of Arizona. So we'll get to that as well. And then Hate It or Love It, of course, is coming up at 10:30. So text us at the fan text line at 55305 throughout the show. Let us know what you're thinking about what we're talking about. And again, you can also tweet at us on the Twitters. I told you a couple of minutes ago. Coming up next, though, the Blazers win yesterday. And Damian Lillard continues to put this team on his back. This is Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
9:14 here on your Sunday morning. Mike Lynch, Rashad Taylor with you till 11 o'clock. Lots of sports coming up the rest of the show. Starting off with the NBA last night, the Blazers getting a 106-104 win over the 18-43 Phoenix Suns. They were down big in the fourth quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, but Damian Lillard said, No. He went to Kemi Mutombo on him and absolutely dominated the quarter and willed the Blazers to the win, including the game-winning layup, which was, if you haven't seen it, dirty. He was fouled. He went through three guys. He did a little underhanded kind of, it wasn't really a reverse, but he was able to kind of squeeze it under and up, a little kind of like underhanded floater to get it in. It was a really nice play. It's just to cap off a really nice evening for him to get the Blazers the really important win.
That tip dunk that he had, I think that
he jumped over three people.
Yeah, that was the point that he was like, oh, okay, let's hoop right now. Man, Dame is playing with extreme confidence.
He was looking for that too, because if you watch the replay and you only watch him, not the heart or the Napier shot, he's just like, I'm going to try to dunk this in. The second it leaves his hands, he's going in for the follow-up. It wasn't even a hesitation. And then in the post-game interview, he said there was a couple of times where he thought he could have done it, and he didn't. So I think in the back of his head, he goes, I'm going to get a put-back dunk over people today. So he was looking for it, and he did it. That was a sick one, too.
It really looks like Dame is he's clearly embraced his role as the leader, you know, and that's something that we never really saw from LaMarcus Aldridge. So,
LaMarcia?
I mean, his name is LaMarcus. He's just not as, you know, he's just not as tough as some other people, and that's fine. You know, that's, you know, just.
I thought that nickname was loving, Rashad. I don't know what you're talking about.
LaMarcia? Yeah. I mean.
Like Marsha from the Brady Bunch?
I get it. Oh, I get it. Yeah, but I don't know. I thought LaMarcus.
Didn't people like Marsha?
He did what he was supposed to do when he was here, so I have no ill will towards him. So
and hey, he gets what he wants. He's the leader on the Spurs because Kawhi Leonard is on the outs.
And they're the third seed in the West with them doing
four
that.
Four now.
So, well, are they?
Yeah,
are they
the T-Wolves passed him. But
so
can the Blazers go get Kawhi Leonard? Is that possible?
It sounds like it really might be possible.
I know it's not possible, but I'm hopeful.
I mean, from the sounds of things, but here's the cold part. And I know we're talking about the Blazers. And
sorry, I'm tangent man over here.
But no, the Spurs are one of those teams. When's the last time they let a star go? They don't. They keep their guys. Always.
Like, yeah.
But David Robinson retired a Spur. Tim Duncan retired a Spur. Ginobili's going to retire a Spur. Tony Parker's going to retire a Spur.
They're Kawhi Leonard
they don't let
feels,
their stars go.
Feels like a different type of star, though. Because I don't know why, but to me, it kind of felt like Tim Duncan almost always, I mean, he was a star, yes, I'm not going to deny that, but he almost always just was like, yeah, just whatever, man, I do what the team wants. That's all I'm going to do, right? And Tony Parker was kind of an underrated player, and he became a really good player. Same with Manu Ginobili. Kawhi Leonard has been a star, and he's like a LeBron James dominate the game kind of star. And I wonder if, because that doesn't fit the Spurs want you to sit in your place and do your job, that may be part of the reason why there's an issue.
I don't know. I think this is something that Pop has never had before, though. Like, I mean, he's had a great Tim Duncan, who is the most fundamentally sound player you can think of. He's had a David Robinson, who was like the Incredible Hulk. Like, yep. And people don't remember how.
And they had them both ripped at the same time, too.
Yeah, man, and had them both at the same time. Like, Tony Parker is a playoff beast. Like, that's where he shines. He gets no love during the regular season. Then the playoffs usually come, and that's when Tony Parker and Ginobili typically shine. He's never had a player as good on the perimeter as Kawhi Leonard. So I think this is a great opportunity for Pop to show that, yeah, I can coach LeBron because look what I did with Kawhi, you know? So I think he's going to stay there. But talking about Damian Lillard, tell me somebody is playing better than him right now. Anybody. And this includes the guy that's going to win MVP and James Harden. I'm talking this stretch of like the past seven to 10 games or something. What were his numbers you
said, Lynch? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Last six games, he scored 50, 39, 44, 21, 24. 21 is the All-Star game, by the way. 24 and 40.
I mean, I think he said he's averaging 32 during this little stretch.
In February, he's averaging 32 points per game. And that includes a lot of early February games with 21, 20, 18 before the streak started. So
just imagine if he was actually playing close to what he's even playing now. Like, Damian Lillard's a bad boy. Like, and I just always felt bad that he never got his just due. And that's the only reason I said he wouldn't make any All-Star teams, just because there's so many guards in the West that everybody pays attention to and loves. And I think he just kind of gets lost in the shuffle because we play up here in the gloomy Northwest. And not like the cool part of the Northwest, like Seattle. I'm using quote fingers because Seattle is okay, but, you know, it's about the same if you ask me. Just saying.
Worse traffic, more sprawling. I don't think it's really any better than Portland.
I mean, it's a cool getaway. You know, it's a nice little, you know, don't want to be in Portland for a couple days. I'm going to go to Seattle for a few days. But outside of that, like.
But you're right. He's been out of this world lately. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want to overreact to a week's worth of play, essentially, seven games worth. But it feels like he's figured out a way to take his game to the next level, right? Now, he is taking more shots, so that's obviously going to be part of it. In this stretch, he's taken 26, 25, 25, 18, and 27 shots, where before he was taking in the teens most games or the low 20s. So he's figuring out that he needs to take over the game to win, right? He's figuring out, like you said, he needs to be the star. He is the star, but he needs to act like it too. He needs to just say, screw it. This is my game now, and I'm going to take it from you, which is what he did last night. Now, we did get a text on the fan text line from Ryan, 55305. They have to start moving the ball better. They dribble way too much, which makes the team easier to defend. Lack of ball movement's the biggest issue. Yes, that's been the biggest issue this whole season. Is Terry Stotts' system, and I talked about it before on the show, is predicated on movement and passing and just constantly moving the ball around. And when they were losing a lot in the beginning of the year, or they were playing 500 ball, however you want to put it, they were just doing ISOs. They were dribbling down the floor and taking the first shot they saw. They were passing maybe once, and that was it. And then when they started winning again, what was it, like a couple of weeks ago when they started getting some of those wins back again? Yeah, against late January, early February, that stretch when they were playing better, they were passing the ball. They were moving the ball around. They were doing what Terry Stotts' offense wanted them to do, and they weren't just settling for isolation shots. Now, in yesterday's game, that wasn't happening, and then Damian Lillard took over, and I know there wasn't a lot of passing when he took over because he just completely dominated the ball and won the game. But that is how they will win consistently moving forward. But if Damian Lillard can do this while also helping the offense do that, he can still be a dominant ball-dominant guard, but also help the team get some shots off. Because Al Farouq Aminu, hate him or love him, has been shooting the ball really well this year. He has. He has, though. Really. He's been hitting a lot of his threes. It's been pretty surprising.
Aminu.
If you can do a good mix, that'd be the perfect way to actually win a first-round playoff matchup.
I mean, yeah, I think they really need to that ball movement is important. But I think people also need to remember that it's important to have a dude on your team that can get you a bucket in a half-court offense. And that was really where the Blazers shined when they had Brandon Roy, is you knew that when everybody talked about Brandon Roy being a ball stopper. Well, the truth is, when you get in the playoffs and you get teams that know how to play defense, man, you need a dude that's going to be able to take some one-on-one shots, and that's what you have in Damian Lillard. So right now I think he needs to do everything he can do to make sure his team can get into that top four spot, especially now with, you know, Jimmy Buckets being out. There's an opportunity for him to really move forward, and I think that's where you're going to see a lot of shots from him. You're going to see a lot of shots. CJ took 24 shots yesterday, too. Like, I mean,
he only made 8 of them.
He made 8 of them, but he ended with 21 points, 24 points,
21,
something like that.
Yeah. I'm kidding, by the way.
Yeah, so you're going to need these guys to take a lot of shots, unfortunately, because I'll be real, Aminu, 2 for 9, 5 points. That's not going to help. Whoa. Harkless had 9. Okay, I guess.
Did you see Shabazz's night? 0 for 7 from 3.
Yeah,
Holy crap.
Shabazz didn't have a good night. I didn't even see that. You have this happen, and this happens to the Blazers more often than not. And you're going to need Damian Lillard and you're going to need CJ McCollum to take a whole lot of shots on a lot of nights to win some ball
games. Well, kind of going back to what Mike was saying earlier about how he's taking more shots now in this like 7-game streak than he was before. I mean, that does kind of take the realization of, you know what, I am the best player. Same thing with CJ. You know, you are by far the two best players on this team. And if you want to be a top four seed, then those two guys need to step up and they need to be the guys that are doing the heavy lifting. Not saying that the other teammates need to not be involved, but you have two guys that are heavy lifters and they need to act like it. Because, I mean, in reality, when you think about Kobe, you know, I mean, I don't want to like say he's Kobe, but you know, that guy was a guy that was more than willing to take 25 shots a game in order to
81 points on like 40 shots or something crazy like that.
Yeah. And you know, Damian Lillard's capable of that on nights like last night where he scores 19 in the fourth quarter. Let him go. Let him loose. Well, you know, he knows what to do with the ball.
Well, here's the thing though, too. And a lot of people hate the ball dominant isolation offense, but if you watch the NBA at all regularly, and you watch some of the top teams outside of the Warriors, because, well, they just do it differently. All of those teams let their main top dog just control the offense for periods of time. James Harden does it for the Rockets.
LeBron James.
LeBron does it, obviously, for the Cavs. You know, when he was healthy, John Wall did it for the Wizards. DeMar DeRozan does it for the Raptors. They just let them just go. They take shots. They don't pass as much, and they just let their best player go. And one thing that that Damian Lillard said in a post-game interview a couple of games ago was he said, I talked to CJ, we talked to each other, and we said, it's now, it's here. It's almost like they're like the fans. They're like, oh, yeah, now is the real NBA season, right? Now we have to start paying attention. He said to CJ, we have to do it now. We have to take over now because that's how we're going to make the playoffs. And what have those two done? They've gone bananas. CJ hit 50 points a couple of weeks ago. Dame's done it twice now.
There's a big stretch in yesterday's game where CJ had 6 straight points, like all himself, you know, to kind of help bring the Blazers back. So I want to make sure that he's not lost in this whole thing.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Dame's been the star. He's been the one taking over. But CJ is doing his part because it's the two of them, right? And these are the only two stars this team has is Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And yeah, I guess you could even say borderline stars if you want to argue it, which you can't with Dame. You might be able to do that with CJ. But that's it. So it's up to those two players to play out of their minds to get them into a good playoff seed. And so far, so good.
Is it time to concede to the fact that these are the Blazer stars? This is your future? This is your franchise? Like, I mean, I think we keep looking
for... That doesn't make Blazer fans too happy.
No, I mean, I think we continue to look for the next best thing or the next big thing. And I'll be honest, man, I just don't know if it's coming here. And now you got two guys through what everybody talks about through the draft, and it's worked out for you. Is it time to just say that, man, Dame and CJ this is who the Blazers are, and this is what the Blazers are, and let's try to build with that. I don't think we can should keep looking for what's next, man. Nurkic is kind of panning out, but you know, 14 and 10 yesterday. So
he's 23. He's inconsistent,
but he's 23, and so he can still grow. This is really only his second year of actually being on the floor and playing, and so that's a big ask to ask from anybody.
We said this last week. They're going to keep him unless he gets like a max offer.
Yeah,
and even then they might, I guess. But he has the potential still. But I think this is what Nugget fans were dealing with for the last few years when he was on their team. The potential's all there, but he just doesn't do it all the time. Yeah, we see that now.
I mean, Nurkic hasn't played. He hasn't been what I think we expected him to be. But Nurkic per night has been 14-9, 14-8.
He's been solid.
Know? So he hasn't been what we, but he was better than, I'll say this, we love Rolo. He's better than him.
Rolo was more consistent than him.
But he was a consistent 10 and 9 rebounds. Here's a dude that's giving you consistent 14 and 9 rebounds. So I'm doing it every night, and I'm giving you some block shots. And you know what I'm saying? I'm changing the way your defense looks. So, I mean, we loved Rolo. Not sure why, but now we, you know.
Because Rolo was Portland. That's why.
Yeah. I mean, because he did the Comic-Con thing, and he, you know, he had the hair, and he was Portland.
He was a Simpsons character.
Yeah, Sideshow Bob, of course. Or Sideshow Mel. He had Sideshow Mel.
I mean, going back to what you were saying earlier,
I thought it was Bob.
There's two of them.
Mm. Sideshow Bob.
Well, there was Sideshow Mel, too, after Sideshow Bob stopped being there. It's all
Simpsons
good.
History.
You know all the Simpsons characters are named after streets in Portland?
Yeah.
That's kind of tight.
I Simpson. Did not know that.
Because he's from here, grown up. Yeah. So right. He went to Lincoln High School.
Yeah.
There's a little like thing on the sidewalk outside Lincoln of Bart, and it's like his initials on it in his graduating year.
Oh, go Generals. Cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
Dom Kinsley went to ours high school, so. And Terrell Bennett. Just saying.
So salty.
Oh man. All right. But I think Nurk is gonna be fine. You know, I think Nurk is just one of those guys that he just needs some more time to grow. This is his third year and really only his second year playing, only his really first year as far as being a consistent starter and stuff. So
let's break, because we went over talking about the Simpsons.
Shocker.
I know. Coming up next, we got some texts. I want to read those. Fan text line 55305. And I want to extend this conversation to the Western Conference standings, which are oh so tight. And between 3 through 10, at least, and nobody wants to separate themselves in that pack. Could the Blazers be the team that does it? That's next. But first, Jesse S. Sports.
Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
9:35 here on your Sunday morning. Talking some Blazers, talking some NBA.
Woo!
Some texts that are coming in. Ryan responds. He was the first one to text in. Well, of course, I love that he can get buckets whenever he wants. I just wish he wouldn't do it in the middle of the second quarter with 15 seconds on the shot clock, a.k.a. taking a rush three.
Oh, I get it. 40-foot
three-pointers? Yeah, the bad Damian Lillard shots are a little infuriating.
Can't stand them.
Sometimes I wonder if he's just trying to get into a rhythm and he's like, this
heat possess. Check.
Yeah. It's a heat check. Yeah, that's all it is.
But it's not always a heat check, though. Sometimes it's a, I'm cold, can I get started by hitting this really deep three that I hit a lot?
And that's a confidence booster. Like, if you hit that one, man, this little 25-foot shot is going to go down no problem. So I think that's what it is. Either way, I don't want to see him do it.
Little 25-foot shot.
Yeah, it's a little close. It's a little 25-footer.
Little flick of the
splash,
wrist.
Splash, little floater.
This comes from Jay Money, who, hey, welcome
My
back,
guy, Jay Money.
You haven't texted for like a year, so yeah. Welcome back. Will Nurkic become a bigger factor in the playoffs when the game slows down a bit and play himself into a bigger contract? I don't know. He seems to like the big stage, right? He seems to play really well against better teams on national TV, if you've noticed. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But I don't know. His game doesn't allow him to dominate necessarily because he just doesn't really hit layups that well. As weird as that sounds. I mean, how often do you see him do this weird kind of half floater layup that's not for the backboard but just tries to get it into the bucket? Happens all the time. That's his style of shot. And you've noticed, by the way, that they're telling him to dunk more because they're like, stop doing these stupid just dunk more. And he is. But he's not just, let me get it under the basket and put it right back up. He's kind of weird.
Yeah, he's doing this weird kind of, like he's scared. You know, he gets hit in the face a lot. I think there was some weird stat that he was like the most hit in the face person in the NBA or something crazy like that.
He definitely is.
So I think that has a lot to do with it, man. I think he gets tired of just kind of get whacked in the face. So rather than trying to go up for a dunk, he's just like, man, I'll just try to lay it up. And I think that's why a lot of us are looking like, what are you doing? Where's the aggressive dude that we saw last year that was smashing in everybody's face and did it with like a reckless abandonment? Like, where is that guy?
I think every like five games.
Yeah. And I think that, but at the same time, you're still looking at a dude, and this is where Portland fans, it's so important that
you're
we
so
keep
sad.
Things. No, I just want people to keep stuff in context. All that being said, as bad, quote unquote, as Nurkic is, he's damn near 15-10. You know what I mean? He's doing what we figured he would be doing with Dame averaging 26, CJ averaging 21. All we needed was one other guy. And I say we, as in the collective Portland,
Blazer
all
fan.
You needed was one other guy to go in there and get you 15, get you 17, maybe anywhere from 14 to 17 points a night.
That's what you're getting for Batum.
That's what he's giving.
But
say that one more time, Justin.
That's what you were getting for Batum.
But also inconsistent.
Okay, so yes, so this
it's the
is
same,
where,
it's the same kind of problem.
You missed this conversation, so I didn't get this in the last break. So basically, Rashad said, "Hey, you know, Blazer fans looking for the next big thing, not you know." And so you're kind of ignoring the fact that you got Lillard and you got CJ and you got some really good pieces. And I guess what I've thought of when he said that is Blazer fans want the guy that's going to rebound, assist, score lots of points. They want a guy like LeBron or like Kawhi Leonard, or there's only four or five of those guys in the league. Now, I think we have somebody who can be a facsimile of something like that, who can do a lot of different things that allow your superstar like Lillard, he's not a well-rounded player per se. He doesn't play great defense, all
much
that kind of thing. It is better.
Much better, yeah.
He evolves and he gets better every year, which is what you want out of your all-stars. But when I look at Nurkic, I look at a guy that can rebound. He can get assists. I know he can score points. I look at a guy who is not being developed properly, and that's always been my frustration with the Blazers, is that you have this list of players that you can go and rattle off that have gone on and become all-stars other places, that have become better players other places, that have won championships at other places, and it was never with the Portland Trail Blazers because for some reason we've very rarely can get the most out of our players. And that's what's frustrating to me, because I look at a guy like Nurkic and I go, that is a guy who I don't want him to go. I think he is a key piece to the future if you really want to have success, but you have to develop him.
I think you have to be careful, though, in saying the Blazers are really bad at that, because I feel like a lot of that is actually NBA player is not good enough or not willing enough to also improve. Like, how many times have we seen, what's a good example? Rudy Gay, maybe, who's an elite scorer, right? He can score wherever he wants, but did he really improve throughout his career? No, Rudy Gay was exactly the same. Tyreek Evans, same way, right? Just a great player, but he never improved. Now, I feel like there's a lot. I feel like 75% of NBA players can be thrown into this one group of they're really stupid talented. Duh, they're in the NBA, mm-hmm. But they don't have something. It doesn't mean it's all the same with every player, but they don't have something that pushes them to want to be the best that they can be. They're content with making a bajillion dollars and coasting on a bad team and not improving.
And I think that's the case. And I wonder if
the Blazer players who haven't developed in Jesse's argument are it's less of an argument against the Blazers not developing them and more an argument against the players not really trying as hard as they should.
Well, it's just like it's like let's take a simple piece, like a small piece, an ancillary piece that has been a key cog off the roll for a major player in the West. And that's Patty Mills. Blazer fans love Patty Mills.
Still a bench player.
That's why I said he's a bench player, but he's a key cog somewhere else. And he has been a key cog for the Spurs. He has played in big moments. And he has a guy in Popovich who knows how to, one, develop talent, and two, how to use that talent, and three, how to get through to these thick, numbskull like basketball players who think they're all that.
But Popovich is a special example, too, though.
Exactly, it is.
He's so rare in the NBA.
It is, and that's where it reminds me of, I don't know, Moneyball. Have you guys ever... Mm-hmm. Okay, so that moment where...
Brad Pitt
goes down into the bullpen, and the guy that they traded for over from the Yankees is doing BP, and he kind of has that moment where he's like, this is what I need from you. And he's like, no, you guys are paying me $7 million. I'm just to go out there and hit crush balls. And he's like, no, the Yankees are paying you $7 million to not play for them anymore. You need somebody who can find a way to get through these players to be like, oh, yeah, you're making more than me, but that doesn't mean anything. Or you have to find a way to get through these guys because they're all prima donnas. They're all wide receivers, if you ask me.
I think it starts with leadership and with coaching. Like I said, like you look at a guy like Rudy Gay, name a great coach Rudy Gay ever had. He had all the talent in the world. Name a great coach that he ever had that was able to harness that talent and say, you know what? That's what we talked about during the break. Man, a great coach makes good players great. Great players, phenomenal. That's why I covet LeBron so much. LeBron has never had a dude in his ear to go, you know what? When he does this, you do this. And he's never had a dude in his entire career. In fact, he's made coaches look good. It's not supposed to work like that. And so I think that's the big thing is like we look at Nurkic and say, man, here's a guy that we know has talent because we've all seen it. We've seen him dominate. So it's like isn't that my coach's job to get out there and say, hey, man, I need, or at least put you with the right person to say, man, you work with him, make sure he knows how to do this, this, and that.
Well, of course.
Look at the great organizations. The Lakers tried to do that with Andrew Bynum, and it ended up working. He made an all-star team before all the injuries happened.
I forgot about that.
Man, the Sixers have been doing it with Joel Embiid for the past, you know, few years. Like, they've all put people around their big men to say, this is how you, it's a lost art. Nobody plays big man anymore. This is how you do that, and this is how you're able to do it effectively.
Well, and it's like Nurkic's problem. I'm getting hit in the face all the time. Well, you need a coach in there that's going to teach him more than, hey, just dunk it. You need somebody that's going to teach him the techniques that are going to allow him to avoid that aggressive defensive play that people are playing against him and take advantage of that, because I guarantee you there's a way for him to be down in the paint, have these aggressive defensive players play their aggressive play and take advantage of that, get fouls, and get easy buckets.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is you're right? You're both right. But I don't believe for a second the Blazers don't have a coach telling Yusuf Nurkic that. I don't believe that for a second, that they don't have a coach putting Yusuf Nurkic in the best situation possible to succeed. I think it comes down to the fact some nights he just doesn't care, right? He's been benched in the fourth quarter because he's got 0 points in the third quarter and he's just lumbering around out there. That's not on the coaches. That's on Yusuf Nurkic. And that's what I'm saying, is a lot of NBA players are like that. Now, yes, there are some coaches who are not as good. I cannot remember the coach's name. Apologies for that. But the Blazers did have a big man coach who was working with Myers Leonard, and they let him go. And Myers was, like, really upset about it. And not that Myers was any good, but this guy was a well-regarded big man coach, and he went to go take some other job. So maybe it is a little bit with coaching. Yes, I'm not denying that. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely coming from both ways.
No,
all I'm saying.
It is. I agree. I think there's some, you know, some apathy there for Nurkic. And I would kind of understand. Like, I mean, like you said, that was kind of his issue in Denver. Like, there wasn't much attention being paid to.
Well, and he got benched, and he was pissed, you know, and he gained weight. Yeah,
yeah, it was kind of one of those things. Like, wasn't much attention being paid to Nurkic. Now I feel like it's kind of reverting back to that. I just think the big man needs an opportunity to develop. I'm just not sure. I haven't heard anything to know what the plan is for that.
All right. We didn't even get to the Western Conference standings there. We'll do that next. And coming up in hour number two, we were going to take a step away from the NBA.
Woo.
NFL notes, college basketball scandal, hate it or love it. That's all coming up in the next hour. But do you actually trust the Blazers' spot in the Western Conference standings right now? That is next here on Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Screw it, I'm calling an audible. Okay. We're getting a lot of good texts, so I want to keep this going. And we can get to the Western Conference standings next, and we'll move stuff around if we have to. But I want to keep getting to the text and the fan text on the 55305. The name of the coach was Kim Hughes.
That's right.
I forgot. This one texter brings up, he was fired because he's the one who reportedly leaked the LaMarcus Aldridge leaving to the media.
That's right.
So he broke the circle of trust, if you will. But he was a really good big man coach, and I do wonder if that would be making a difference for the Blazers today. A couple other texts that we got, one from P1 Dustin. He says, I still would like to move CJ for a more complimentary piece, but if that doesn't happen, and these are the stars we are building with, then it comes down to Zach Collins. If he can turn into a legitimate star and be that scoring four, that might work. I do agree with that. And look, as long as Neil O'Shea is the GM, CJ is not being traded, right? You know, well, don't laugh.
No. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at myself. Keep going. I'm not. Well, now it's you, sir.
I know. But I know you're laughing. Look, I'm gonna help Dustin's point here, because I know everyone wants to make Zach Collins the next Myers Leonard. I know he's white. He's awkward.
I wasn't even laughing at Zach Collins. I like Zach Collins a lot, actually.
But as long as Neil O'Shea is here, CJ is not going anywhere, right? Because he's in love with CJ McCollum. Mm-hmm. He drafted him. He doesn't want to trade him. So if that is the case and O'Shea stays for a while, which I know a lot of Blazer fans don't want, but he might, then, yeah, it might be down to Zach Collins. If Nurkic is just going to be a above-average center, then that's not going to be the third piece you need. That's good. It's a good complementary piece. If Zach Collins can do what he's already doing on defense, which, by the way, is really good for a rookie, especially a guy who's 19 years old, who was only a freshman last year and didn't even play for Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. His defense is phenomenal. He is a straight up machine on defense, and he's not going to get called for fouls if he goes straight up, and he's good at that. He's been getting called for a lot of fouls, but a lot of them have not been him. It's just been the ref seeing contact. If he can start consistently hitting that shot that he is also good at, we've seen him hit a couple of shots. You're right. He could be that third piece. Now, that is also kind of like the Neil Olshey propaganda. Remember, they drafted him. We see him building with this. He's going to be the third piece. You know, he said that in his soap opera voice and his salesman voice. But I could certainly agree with that being true. And if that's the case, sadly, that might mean a couple more years of him developing. And you kind of need to take advantage of Damian Lillard now, because he's in his prime now. And there's still that threat in a couple of years of him leaving because the Blazers haven't won anything. But, you know, I could see that certainly being an argument that I could get behind. What were you laughing at?
Because the idea that you should trade CJ for, quote-unquote, a complimentary piece. How much more complimentary is 21 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists a night sound? There are 4 other teams in the league that have 2 dudes on their team that average at least 20. The Blazers are one of them. So you mean to tell me there's somebody else out there that some other franchise is trying to get rid of that's going to give you more than what CJ McCollum is going to give you every night? That's what you're telling me. That they're willing Kawhi to trade Leonard towards the Blazers. That's the only answer that you can give me. And it's not even for sure if Kawhi is trying to leave. Kawhi Leonard drives a 99 Tahoe or something crazy like that.
That fits perfectly in Portland. You know
what I'm saying? Well, it fits perfectly in San Antonio, too.
Old big truck. Let's
he's go. Already used to being in a small market.
It fits perfectly in San Antonio. Now, Kawhi Leonard, if he's available, then absolutely. But if you're not going to get Kawhi Leonard,
I'm going to start the Kawhi Leonard hype train.
Hey,
come
man,
on.
We should all start the Kawhi Leonard hype train. Truth is, it's San Antonio gonna, ain't letting him go. He's staying right
I'm
there.
I'm sorry to tease you, but it's fine.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? He's not going nowhere. But my question is, like, who? Who's better than CJ McCollum that you can bring into the Blazers right now that's going to be able to take a secondary role like CJ has done and do well with it?
Kawhi Leonard's long-lost brother, Lawhi Kennard?
Hey, bring Lawhi up here. I'd like to meet Mr. Kennard and see what he can do.
It's weird that he has a different last name than his brother, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, low-key.
Paul George,
they have
right?
They have the same braids, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
George Paul.
So There are 20, let me, I'm counting, 25 dudes in the league that average at least 20 points this season. The Blazers have 2 of them. Milwaukee has 2 of them. OKC has 2 of them. New Orleans has 2. Nobody else does. So.
And New Orleans is the 8th seed.
I'm just saying, like, who's, we talk about getting more than CJ, but really? 21, 3-3 is not complimentary? What is it? What's complimentary?
I think. Maybe complimentary wasn't the word exactly that he was looking to use, because
what's better than that? What's better than that is available.
What CJ is essentially a Damian Lillard clone, and with worse defense. I think what fans want is they want a player who can score, but has a different skill set that is not mimicking Damian Lillard.
CJ has a much different skill set. CJ is a scorer. That's what CJ does. Dame is a slasher. Man, remember, for a while on this show, we talked about how CJ was such a better finisher at the basket. You know, just Dame would get there. He's gotten better. Now, Damian is clearly one of the best in the league, but at a point, that's what we talked about.
What was that, 2 years ago? He couldn't finish for anything.
You tell me a better missed. Streaky shooter on this team than CJ McCollum. Like, when somebody that can get it going and keep it going, man, CJ's bailed the Blazers out a whole lot of nights. So that's what I'm saying. And sometimes you need that other dude. He's clearly that other dude. And he's okay with being second. I think that's the part right now. The NBA is full of dudes who all want to be the alpha. Here's a guy that's saying, man, it's cool. Like, I'll take less shots than you. You know, I'll clearly get less points and rebounds. But I'm going to shoot when I get my hands on the ball. That's what shooters do. We don't hear that. We don't hear Bradley Beal's a ball hog. Bradley Beal's a shooter. That's what he does.
Honestly, from what you've said, this segment, the last segment, what I get is the fan doesn't know what they want, because, like you said, you got Nurkic, he's averaging 15-10. Like, that's basically, I guess, what you would want if you're trading CJ, is a guy that's a little bit more balanced. He still gives you double-digit points, but he's going to give you double-digit assists or rebounds or something.
Where are those guys?
You know, the biggest thing is this team needs to be balanced, is because you are super guard-heavy with CJ and Dame, obviously, and you need the front court to pick up some slack, and that means you're really relying on this coaching staff to develop a couple players, which the Blazers have had a hard time proving that they can do. You know, Zach Collins, sure, if you can develop him. Tell me a player that's really truly been developed by the Blazers in the last 20 years.
It's been God-given talent. Rasheed Wallace and Damon Stoudemire and Brandon Roy. You know what I mean? It's been just pure athleticism and know-how. Like, not because Nate McMillan or Mo Cheeks or anybody developed those dudes.
It's hard, though, because you could argue that they've had many players over the last however many years that have improved drastically. I mean, Wes Matthews came in and became an elite shooter and defender when he was more kind of average when they acquired him in that trade.
They paid him more. You could tell, though, the Blazers thought more highly of them and thought that he had a lot of potential.
But you
and
can't
they paid
deny
him for
he
that.
Improved each year as he went on and became one of the most important players on that team. Of course, Damian Lillard's improved. Of course, CJ McCollum has improved a lot.
But that's the thing, is like taking a guy, like they haven't done the project and improved it. And that's what we're talking about with
that's hard.
Zach.
Adams, who's become a big project for OKC, and it's paid dividends so far.
And Cantor has been a failure. So they failed with one, and they've got one that worked.
But you know? Also look at a guy or a franchise down in Golden State that for seemingly can't miss. Like, they just keep developing guys in Golden State over and over and over. Like, Jordan Bell wasn't ready. That's what we kept hearing in Portland. Well, he's ready to do something down for for the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, but with Jordan Bell, I think that's one thing with him is, would he be the same on a different team?
Outside of Kevin Durant, they basically drafted that team, and they developed that team. Steph Curry came in, and he was a good player. He turned into NBA all of, like, MVP, right? Klay Thompson, they drafted that guy. They drafted and developed that team. Like, well, that's what the Blazers need. They need more than just one or two players, which right now you have two players that you've drafted and developed. You need that team developed.
All right. That's all
I'm getting at.
We got a break. Coming up next, I'll get to the Western Conference standings. Also next hour, hate it or love it. And we'll probably do the NFL notes as well. So that's all still to come. Keep texting at 55305 here on Sports Sunday on The Fan.